Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Good afternoon. You are listening to Katie and Kay, and this is Everything Under the Sun, our little half-hour new show every Thursday afternoon with Soper Sun staff. And, you know, the last several weeks we've been bouncing off. My editor, Will Grandbois, and myself, Megan Tackett, kind of have taken turns. But today I'm joined. It's a party in the Katie and Kay studio. Will, it's been too long since we've done something together, so thanks for joining me.
Although we were on the radio together when you were writing your story just 10 days ago.
That is true.
Which we'll have to make you talk about.
Absolutely. And Amy Haddon Marsh.
Hi, nice to be here.
Absolutely. Who, very much like me, I think we get to play both Katie and Kay and Soper Sun. So you've got something in this week's paper that I cannot wait to talk to you about.
Okay.
And then on the other side of things, I've got Thomas from the Post Independent who decided to cross lines and hang out with me. So I appreciate that.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And it's Phippin?
Phippin, that's right.
Phippin, okay. Yeah, just wanted to make sure, you know.
Like philosophy. Throws a lot of people.
It's going to get deep. It's going to get deep. I can already tell. I'm excited. And then Mark, the new news director for KDNK. I just spaced on your last
name. Dugan.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Like I said, it's a party, and it's a party full of journalists. There's a lot to talk about today because not only is it the first issue of the year, and happy 2019, everybody. Hopefully you had a nice, smooth, happy New Year's Eve and all that good stuff. So one of the things that we've done, I think for the second year in a row now, Will, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've done is just... There's so many opportunities, but there's so much room for activity, right, in Carbondale. And so we've had, our correspondents and staff go out and try something they've never done before, something that's new to them that they can then turn around and write kind of a first-person account on. The only rule is that it has to be something accessible that any reader or listener or just layman person can be inspired by and say, hey, I want to do something like that. So I guess I'll just immediately pivot. Will, you alluded to our little Christmas Eve DJing session, which was the first time I had ever done the music thing. And probably I'm thinking the first time you ever taught two people at the same time in the studio.
I don't think it's fair to say that I was teaching two people at the same time. I was sort of forcing you to teach another person while I went through the stacks looking for any female vocalists I could get.
It was very much the blind leading the blind, but we had fun.
But, you know, I think it was fun to watch you in that role. And I knew that we had, you know, Luke was listening. I was listening. If anything had gone really terribly wrong, you had some backup. But I think it was, I think I said to you a little earlier there that you seemed a little tentative at first. You were so used to this board, but had not done the music thing.
Right.
But as soon as you had somebody else to show how to, you know, how to do it, your confidence went way up. And I think it was just a perfect lesson on, you know, the open shared nature of this station and how a whole bunch of voices do get shared and a whole bunch of music tastes, and you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, so including us that day.
That's true too. But we do have, I mean, you can make this pitch, but there's a DJ training coming up just around the corner on the 17th, Mark?
I think so, yeah. A week from tonight.
Absolutely.
I think 2 weeks from tonight, yeah.
There we go.
I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just rocketing into 2019 already.
Well, and that look on your face in the photograph.
Oh my God. I was so mad at Will. I was from afar. I wasn't even in the country. I was like, all right, fine. Just run, whatever.
You looked like you were really nervous.
I have much less flattering photos from that set. So.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think I've ever seen a photo I liked myself. But Josie was having an absolute ball, and that was so much fun. You're absolutely right, Will. When I was able to share it with somebody in that kind of capacity, you know, I like the teacher role. It suits me in most of my other arenas in life. So that was where I was actually comfortable. I think if it was just me on my own, I would have been a lot more panicked.
Mm-hmm. So Mark, since you've been filling in and you're coming back in a little bit here and might want to duck out for a bite to eat or something, can you just fill us in on how you've been at this job about a month now?
Just about a month. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's been that long, Amy. I know.
You blink.
Well, and, you know, around the holidays, things become a blur. But, yeah, I started on, I think it was the second week of December. So it's close to a month now. Yeah, and then today I did my first music show.
Nice. See, yeah. first music all around.
So first music show on KD&K, but I first started doing music shows when I was 14 years old. I was one of those kids that wanted to be on the radio, and I got a chance. And so here I am all these years later.
Well, now you're really getting a chance here, because all of a sudden a lot is being thrown at you with a couple of major absences and shoes to fill.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Raleigh left today, actually. Today is his first day away for about 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. He's going to Argentina, and so he'll be full of stories when he gets back. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Gavin is out right now for what we would call a family matter. And so all of a sudden, here I am.
Right? How are you feeling, though? I mean,
I'm good, yeah. You know, I've worked at a few stations, and so, you know, I'm sure there'll be some interesting things coming my way, but it's fun.
Definitely. Yeah. Very cool. And kind of on that note, too, you know, one of the reasons I was really hoping to have you in as well, Thomas, is because you are relatively new, but no longer totally new to the Valley. Now that you've got a little bit of time under your belt, you've now got an official new year in the Valley. Yep. You know, how are you settling in?
Well, from my perspective, I think I'm settling in okay.
I've enjoyed your reporting.
It's been such a blast to be here. I got here in October, early October. So I'm coming up on 3 months in the Valley. 3 months at the job, and it's been a blast. I mean, every day I realize that there's a lot that I don't know about, but everybody's been so welcoming, and it's been I've gotten to report on some really fun stories, meet some fascinating people, and that's why, you know, that's one of the things I love about journalism, is that I get to meet so many people and ask them awkward questions that I wouldn't be able to ask in normal polite conversation.
Right.
It's the awkward question club.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. The audacity of journalism.
I know.
Do you have a favorite story that you've done so far?
Oh gosh, you know, one of the stories that's been the most rewarding, I think, was the just an in memoriam piece on Lyle Beattie, who was quite an incredible man. I never met him, but just from hearing from his family talk and writing about him, I think it's probably not the most, it may not be the most important story that I've written, but I really enjoyed it, and I got so much out of it, just learning about the town and about the history and about what values make this valley so great.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think from my own perspective, doing kind of those memorial pieces, yeah, it's not the hard-hitting news, but I always find that I'm holding the most responsibility when I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's to the people that it matters, it really matters.
Yeah, and you're so right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, no, I definitely resonate with that. I think that's a lovely reflection, so.
Yeah. Megan, this is Mark again, KD&K's new news director. I got to go prepare the news because we've got it coming up in just a bit. So did you have any other questions you wanted to ask me?
Just insert yourself right in there.
No, that's fantastic. I just love having
I'm a reporter.
Casual conversations, right? No, that's great. Do you, as the news director of KD&K now going into 2019, do you have any visions or resolutions for the station that you'd like to see happen?
Win some awards. I know that's top of mind for Gavin, too. But, you know, that's a very surface description. Mm-hmm. Winning awards means you're doing good journalism, that you are holding people accountable, that you are telling stories that have impact with people in the community. So I think, you know, winning an award is icing on the cake, but it all starts with good journalism.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, on that note, I will let you go do good journalism.
Off to it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mark Dugan, the new news director here at KD&K. You are listening to Everything Under the Sun. If you are just tuning in with us, I'm reporter Megan Tackett for Soper Sun, and I am joined here with my editor, Will Grambois.
Howdy.
And Thomas Phippen of the Post Independent.
Hello.
And Amy Haddon Marsh of KD&K and the Soper Sun in particular this week.
Hello.
Hello. And Amy, I would love, well, I guess this is a good pivot. I would love to talk to you about your piece by starting with Thomas. Thomas, have you gotten a chance to ski yet in this valley?
A chance to what?
Ski in this valley yet? You said that there were things you hadn't done yet.
Yeah, that's one of them that I haven't done yet. I don't have any boots or bindings or anything or skis or anything like that. And even though I grew up in Colorado, but my parents and my whole family was more into horses than skiing. Mm-hmm. And you can only do one you can only have so many expensive hobbies.
That's true.
Skiing just kind of got left out of the way. So I haven't skied much. Looking forward to it, though.
Well, it is. I mean, January is Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month. So.
It's true.
Is that just right at Sunlight, or is that all over the country?
That's all over, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sunlight has some deals associated with it. I'm sure other resorts do, too. So it's a good time to do it. And
yeah.
Well, and speaking of being more into horses than skiing and not having the equipment and feeling like there are just barriers of entry, Amy, that also kind of sounds like your story a little bit.
It sounds like my story a little bit.
I was so proud of you when you put out a Facebook post. It garnered so many comments, though.
Gosh.
Like, that's how you know that you're resonating with people.
I guess, yeah.
So can you talk to us a little bit about how the genesis of this idea and what happened?
It's also in the story, but, you know, I've never been a skier. It's been like a personal value. It's been a conviction, you know, I don't ski. People would say, well, you live in Colorado. Do you ski? No, I don't ski. I snowshoe or whatever. I ride horses. I do this and that, hike. Well, that's not true anymore. And, you know, a lot of it is based in fear and injury because the two experiences I had with downhill skiing, one with one with cross country, just were dumb. And, you know, I didn't get anywhere, and I didn't have a lesson is the only thing. You know, the first one was at Mansfield, Ohio, which is a little bump. I'm surprised a lot more people are familiar with Mansfield than I thought. But anyway, that was when I was 16 with a boyfriend and fell off the rope toe. You know, I mean, he was the kind of guy who, as I put in the story, he was a really neat guy, but he could try anything once and looked like a pro. That's just the way he was. And so, you know, if it was easy for him, it should be easy for Amy. Well, no, Amy fell off the rope toe and didn't like it. And I thought, you know, when I came out here, I thought, if I fall off the rope toe at Mansfield, there's no way I could, you know, do it out here. So I never did anything. And cross country skiing, same thing. No lesson. Guy saying, just throw yourself into that turn going downhill. And I, you know, sprained my ankle and twisted my knee and sold my skis. So I don't know. I just, you know, I was up at Sunlight working on a story just before Christmas, and I was out getting shushing sounds, you know. And it just was neato. I mean, that's kind of a dumb comment.
It's neato.
It was neato. It was cold and bracing and, you know, it was just really beautiful Colorado Bluebird Day. And people looked like they were having a lot of fun. And there were kids falling down and kids sliding on their butts and, you know, moms and dads. And it wasn't this, it was just an everyday sort of hometown thing. And I thought I can try this.
Yeah.
And when I talked with Troy Hawks, who's the marketing director up there, and I said, do you guys teach 63-year-old women to ski? He said, sure, we do. Why don't you write a story about it? And I think the neatest thing about my lesson, it was a really profound experience for me. First of all, it changed a value, right? Mm-hmm. My value was I don't ski. My conviction, I am not a skier. Well, that's out the window. That's no longer my belief. And there was a moment when I was up on the beginner hill. I'm skiing without poles. I'm not really skiing. I mean, the captain, who was my instructor, is a great guy. You know, he was holding on to the tips of the skis, or he was, you know, skiing in front of me or whatever. But there were a couple of moments when I was skiing. And I compared it with sailing. And I think in the story, I didn't get an opportunity to really explain that well. It wasn't like, no, she sailed down the hill. It was like sailing a boat. I've been a sailor. I used to have a boat many years ago. And it really reminded me of, you know, basically when you're sailing, you have the skills in the boat. You have to learn how to sail the boat. You're reading the wind in the ocean, you know, because there are a lot of different oceans and there are a lot of different waves and the wind is, you know, there are a lot of different names for wind. And to me, there was a split second where I thought this is just like sailing because I'm not reading the wind in the ocean, but I'm reading the snow in the mountain. And it just clicked for me, not that I'm a great skier now, But it made sense to me, and it sort of put me in a whole different mindset.
I'm so happy to hear that. no, seriously.
I don't know if anybody can have that profound experience with skiing, but that just,
I think
it was
skiing
neat.
Is one of the most fun things you can do, honestly. And as you know, somebody, I love sharing that. And mm-hmm. so I was so happy to hear that you had chosen to take a lesson, because your earlier kind of fear-based experiences are so common. It's a tale as old as time. And mm-hmm. it's not that anybody's nefarious about it mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's always... Not always, but it's always a boyfriend, right?
Yeah, and follow me. Yeah, it's not that big
me.
A deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and right. then you are put, you're over-terrained, and you're terrified because it's scary, and you get hurt, right?
Well, yeah, and I've talked to people, you know, who share their stories, their miserable stories, and my sister learned to ski on Highlands with mm-hmm. no lesson behind her husband at the time, and couldn't get it, and she's, you know, got into racer mode first time on the ski and zoomed down the hill, passed him up. It's like, hey.
Does she still have an ACL?
She dislocated her elbow and her shoulder was really bad. Had to go to the hospital and the toboggan and the whole nine yards and never skied downhill again.
Well, did you have a comment?
Well, I've got no such excuse. My first experience was at Sunlight. Mm-hmm. I was 4 or 5, and I took those little tiny lessons.
Yep.
And I was a clumsy child. And it all seemed far too overwhelming for me. Not just the act, but the lifts and the people and the crowds and
right.
And so I really like my Spring Gulch, you know, get out there on my own in the quiet kind of opportunity. And so I can't claim fear. I can just claim sort of introversion, I guess. And my brother, who has autism and cerebral palsy, is a much better skier than me, thanks to Challenge Aspen. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So the family's got that on lock, and someday I'll catch up.
Well, you know, I am a snowshoer too. When I was in the I don't ski conviction, you know, and sold the cross country skis, I got into snowshoeing because there was that control aspect. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sliding down hills fast. You know, I was taking my time, and I felt like I was more in control there. Mm-hmm. And I love snowshoeing. I love it because you can just go out the back door or whatever, depending on where you live, you know, strap them on and just walk around. And
see, now that's something I've never done. It feels wonderful. Like an awful lot of work with very little reward.
Oh, no. The reward is being, you can go deep into the woods. And
I can do that on skis.
Well, it, you know, to each his or her own.
Absolutely.
But it's I think snowshoeing is remarkable.
Thomas, are we convincing you for winter recreation yet?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't, I'm not a hard sell at all.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Get you up to Spring Gulch soon.
I really want to try out Spring Gulch for sure. I'm not sure. I've never been snowshoeing or cross country, and both of them just sound fantastic.
Great.
Well, it's a snowshoeing in your snowsuit is not. It's arduous work. I mean, you know, you're walking in the snow, but if you have a decent pair of shoes and warm boots to strap into them and some ski poles so you don't, you know, get lost if you fall down, lost in the snow, it's an excellent workout. And it's just wonderful because it's so quiet. And
yeah.
I think I'm going to stick with caving as my,
right.
my winter activity.
You're a caver?
It's 50 degrees no matter what time of year, you know?
That's too scary for me. Too many spiders. Mm-mm.
No spiders.
Have you ever seen a spider in a cave? I've never seen a spider in a cave.
Well, maybe I've watched too many Indiana Jones movies.
Not enough for them to eat down there. But that's besides the point. We didn't do that this year, did we?
No,
I did
didn't.
A gaming story.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, talk to me a little bit about your gaming story.
Well, I mean, as a nerd myself, it was pretty easy to get a hold of folks who were into tabletop gaming in general, meaning not necessarily Scrabble, although thank you to the group who just ushered me in to one of the rooms at the library over the long weekend and invited me to play a game with them. but you know, some stuff you wouldn't necessarily get at Target or Walmart.
Like Sniglets?
I'm not familiar with
Sniglets. I have Sniglets in the car.
Okay, it's good to know. I'm not much of a board gamer myself, with a few exceptions, but I did catch up with the folks at Roaring Fork Tabletop Gamers, which is a meetup group that supports, you know, adults who might want to get into something obscure, those kind of German style, a little bit more, not necessarily more complex, but more modern board games.
What kind of game? You know, I think Monopoly, Chutes and Ladders. These
Well, Settlers of Catan is the one that sort of is what? Considered transitional.
Oh, man. That's like what friendships end on that.
And now
what's it called?
Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan.
Yeah. And this is also like we're past that here with most of these folks. They're into stuff that mostly comes out of Germany. And there's a lot of new board games out there. And that's almost old news for them. It's been a decade of sort of expansion of adults playing, you know, kind of obscure board games together.
Well, that sounds like fun. Really
it can be. Mm-hmm. And there's a shop in Glenwood, Tesseract Games, that supports that community as well as the meetup group. But the other thing I sort of got into toward the end there was tabletop role-playing, which I see as something of a distinction. Dungeons & Dragons is the traditional most common platform, but there's a lot of them. And that is something that I personally
am
into.
Tabletop role-playing. Can you give, like, an example?
Well, it's, you know, the way I think Jeff described it is as good as it gets. It's cooperative storytelling with... a little help from some dice to decide, give a randomness, and one person who's assigned to kind of keep everything together and make a coherent platform out of it.
The players really get to create their own character development, right?
Like, that's where the role playing comes in. And I haven't done that much of it, but that's where the role play. That's why it's called role playing, because each person has an assigned character with specific attributes, and there's a lot of freedom to make decisions within the gameplay. Which I think it's fascinating.
So are there like settings and are you in a particular time or is it a fantasy thing?
Fantasy is the most common setting. It kind of lends itself to that. And I think the demographic that was interested, was interested in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Again, Jeff, who runs the game store, he's like graduated well beyond standard fantasy. He's really into this, sort of sci-fi urban fantasy setting that he's actually sort of literally written the new role-playing book based on another system to work in. So
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's catching on. D&D 5 is out. Pathfinder 2 is coming out. It's kind of having that renaissance like what tabletop role-playing game or non-role-playing games were having about 10 years ago. I'm taking advantage of the Carbondale Library to teach a few folks to play in the next couple weeks here. I'm sure if you connected with Lacey, you could find out when that's happening, because those are all, you use those rooms. That's technically an open event. Hopefully Megan's going to get back involved. It's funny, when you were describing that, it's usually a boyfriend and they just kind of throw you into it. That also seems to be something that happens to people with D&D, is they end up being the token female in a group and either excluded or included without a lot of help. But the group that I'm working with now is predominantly female, and they seem to be having a blast.
Oh,
so,
right. So get past, I guess maybe that. I'll join that one. Yeah.
So that was.
Is it okay for people who are older than 30 to join?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how old Trey Madelon is, but she's participating.
Okay.
I hope. Sorry if I outed you as a nerd on the air.
I think she wears that badge of honor pretty proudly. Okay. So Fred
Corey Simpson. Was a D&Der back in the day.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited. Like I said, I'm still bitter. In my high school days, I tried it, man. And then I was the token female. And apparently the Dungeon Master decided that I was messing up the chemistry. So he killed off my halfling. And I am still bitter 20 years later.
We're going to cure that.
Right.
And then you can go after that guy.
Yeah. See, so like I'm going to, you know, try and examine my own. How can I change my mind about past negative experiences? Exactly.
Killed off your halfling, boy. I wouldn't forgive him for that either.
No, I was real upset. So we've got about 5 minutes left. I am going to remind listeners that you are listening to KD&K, commercial free since 1983. And if you all don't mind, we've had so many fun conversations about experiences that we've taken on that were new, you know, kind of settling into newish roles. I think I want to kind of, if you don't mind, go around the room. And I just want to pose the same question that I did to Mark earlier in terms of visions and professional goals for 2019 coming into the new year. And Will, not to put you on the spot, boss, but what you thinking for the paper?
Well, you know, I think we have sort of a wonderful challenge to rise to, in that we have a new weekly in the Mid-Valley that's doing things a little differently, clearly has a philosophy of its own. And so I'm really hoping to rise to that occasion, continue to work with partners like KD&K and the Post-Independent and the Times and Weekly, if they're so inclined.
Yeah.
But also, you know, do our own thing and move forward and grow.
Definitely.
There you go. Move forward and grow.
I like it. Thomas, all of what, 4 months in now?
Three months in.
What's on the horizon?
Well, for me personally, I can't speak for the entire Post-Independent.
Oh, come on now. No, I'm just kidding.
No, my editor, John Stroud, who promised that he would listen just so that I didn't say anything wrong.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
He would get mad at me. So, no, but for me, I'm very, very boring but important goals of continuing to learn about the Valley, about the people here, and continue to learn the craft of journalism so that I can really, really be useful to the community.
Good goal.
Right?
I don't know if I can. I don't know. How's that?
I think that's also fair. I think there's something to be said for just keeping it a blank slate.
There's some new things that I want to try. But I would also, I'd like to improve my photographic skills, and I would like to be able to make a living as a freelancer. And I'm working on a Connecting the Drop story that should be finished up here tomorrow, and would like to, I think I'd like to spread my wings a little bit. You know, I mean, definitely working with KD&K, but, you know, I'd like to do some more work with the Soper Sun, and I don't know. We'll see, you know, bigger and better.
Yeah.
Any plans to become an Olympic skier by the end of the year?
No. Olympic skier.
Maybe just link your own turns, right?
I just want to be able to, my skiing goal is to be able to ski in a controlled fashion down the beginner hill at sunlight. I saw when we were on the lift, I saw a woman doing that, and it just looked so, I mean, she wasn't racing. She was just enjoying herself. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'd like to be able to do that. So
I think that's reasonable.
That's my goal, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I want to go ski Highlands, and I want to go, I just want to do that.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll be doing some volunteering at Windwalkers and things like that. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, man. What about me?
You've got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. 10 seconds. No, I think I just want to continue settling into the roles that I'm enjoying. I'm really enjoying my relationship with KD&K. I'm really enjoying my relationship with the Soper Sun. I've recently found myself working with a different clientele in my tutoring business, and I'm exploring what that looks like and the future for that, or how I want that. You know, I had somebody ask me recently, they're like, wow, you've just got a lot of different anecdotes, don't you? And I said, did you ever read Shonda Rhimes's book, A Year of Yes? That's always just been my mantra in life. I just want another year of saying yes to things until I can't. So as Will's like, no, more no.
Yes, but also no. That's the improv philosophy, you know, so you might have to take that up too.
So what's the improv philosophy? Yes and also no?
Yeah, yes and, actually.
Yes and, yeah. Instead of yes but, no and. Okay.
I love it. All right. Well, on that note, signing off, thank you everybody for joining me. What a fun show.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.